The Ira Kaufman Podcast is presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, longtime supporters of all of Ira's work at joebucksfan.com. It's the Made to Move sales event going on right now at Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, right there at Causeway Boulevard. So easy to get to. The 2019 Cadillac CTS, $343 lease per month. New 2019 Cadillac Escalade, $749 lease per month. All the details are at Ed Morse CadillacBrandon.com, EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com, and as all Ed Morse customers know, their quality runs across the state of Florida for 73-plus years, more than 1.2 million satisfied customers. And at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, the signature showroom just west of 275 on Fletcher.
Hold on. I want to stop you right here, and I think it's worth noting. The Tampa dealership, this is worth mentioning. Brian is the general manager. He's been there 8 years. Each of the last 2 years, that dealership has been honored by the Cadillac company in general, the overseer, as one of the top 20 dealerships in the world. And I didn't say United States. I said the world. 920 dealerships, that's about 2%. That is very impressive. 2% among all dealerships get that designation. That guy got it 2 years in a row. Brian, you're doing something right over there. Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, Fletcher Avenue, a little west of 275.
The Ira Kaufman Podcast is on. Podcast number 2 of this week. The Sage of Tampa Bay Sports is here. I'm Steve Isbitz of Joe Bucks Fan. Lee DeCamper of Joe Bucks Fan is here. The Man Beast intern himself, Zach Seifter. And of course, as we heard that rousing endorsement, the Sage is presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, all his work here on the podcast. Ira, happy new month here. It's your birthday month in August, which is always exciting.
I don't even want to think about what you got planned for that day, Stevie. I don't even want to. You've been squirreling stuff away. I know you've been talking to different people. You might still have a couple of people that you haven't taped, but it's going to be one special. Now, you don't even know what date my birthday is, Steve. You have no idea. And I don't know if I'm going to tell you either. How do you like that? But I just want to say right off the top, Lee, to our growing Joe Bucks Fan Podcast family, and it is growing, we don't attack Isbitz 24/7.
No, only the craziest dude. I've seen the manila folder, the dossier he has on you.
And is it like the Christopher Steele dossier?
Well,
I hope not.
Included in this dossier.
Is there a pee tape?
Well, there's paperwork in there for you to fill out for Medicaid.
Well, by the way, I got my Medicaid cards a couple of weeks ago, and it's going into effect in a couple of days.
Are you like Steve Martin, the jerk? You start jumping up and down. I'm somebody now. I'm somebody now. The phone books are here.
No, it just tells me I'm old, Steve. That's all it tells me.
All right, well, Ira, congratulations on your Medicaid card, Medicare card.
You know,
sorry.
Our listeners are going to get there, in 30 years. I'm looking back over here. 40 years. 45 years.
Try five.
Zach, you'll get there.
He
Zach.
Asked about Try his birth date, and then we ended up with Medicaid.
Ira.
All right, Sage.
Well, Lee's got his hand up. Lee's got his
no.
hand up.
What does this represent?
Five fingers.
Yeah.
You mean you're 5 years away?
Yeah.
All right. The last time I saw somebody and said, hey, he's got his hand up, was in a movie that, Zach's going to look at me. What are you talking about? Cuckoo's Nest.
Oh.
One of the great ones with Nicholson. Remember that scene when he wants to watch the World Series? Nurse Ratched, I want to watch the World Series.
Nurse
the guys
Ratched
want to watch it. And she takes a vote. There's 18 guys in the ward. And
it's a loony bin.
Yeah, it's a loony bin.
Literally.
Nicholson gets 9 people to put their hands up. He goes, nurse, put the game on. There's a TV in there. And it was game one of the World Series, Dodgers-Yankees. She goes, it's a 9-9 tie. No television. He goes, Look, the Chief's got his hand up. The Chief's got his hand up. I digress.
Well, when
one
I usually
flew over the cuckoo's nest, Zach, I want you to get it on a DVD. It's fantastic.
What do you know about DVD?
I don't have a DVD player.
Absolutely fantastic.
What do you know about DVDs? You don't have a DVD recorder. DVR, I should say.
I don't even have DVR. I don't even know what it is.
Usually if it's on Netflix or Hulu, I'll watch it.
Yeah, usually when I raise my hand like that, it means I have to run to the bathroom to prevent an accident.
I understand. The Chief's got his hand up, Steve.
All right. I can't believe we've gotten here.
Didn't you see that movie?
That movie I saw, Ira. Yes, I did. Many.
It's a stone cold classic, Zach. Stone cold.
All right, Ira. Now,
all right. It won all the awards. Best actor, best actress.
73?
Best picture.
73?
No.
71.
Might have been 76 or something.
Oh.
And you expected me to know that movie?
Oh, I'm sorry, Zach. I'm sorry. It's in the loony bin.
Were your parents married then?
No.
No.
Wow, your parents weren't even married.
Nope.
My parents got married in 1944, Steve. A little World War II going on.
Well,
you know.
Mine was 46, so okay.
Yeah, there you go. All right, what's on your mind,
And my old
Steve?
Man may have worked with your old man. You told me that.
What happened?
My old man may have worked with your old man.
In the post office?
I thought you said your old man worked at the Brooklyn Navy Yard.
He did work at the post office at the Brooklyn Navy Yard.
Oh, the post office.
Post office at the Brooklyn Navy Yard.
Okay, okay.
And he wanted me to be a post office. He wanted me to be a postal employee. Okay. And instead, he got a sports writer. Sorry, Dad.
Oh, my God.
Not even right, count.
I don't even know what to do with this. It's going to be fun on the editing, though. I'll tell you that.
Oh, boy.
All right, Sage. Now, look, Bruce Arians, we haven't talked about this. He essentially was very clear that the offensive line crapped its pants, to use his term.
To use his term.
The other day. He said it three different ways.
Wait, this guy's going to be a ball to cover. I mean, it's going to be an absolute
ball. What about Leo Haggerty getting him all worked up about the running backs?
So, Byron Leftwich did his podium interview and first of training camp. He sort of wasn't too – he didn't want to talk about anybody individually on the line, and he said that the O-line's rusty, and he says, quote, they're getting screwed because they can't block in the summer. Quote, it takes a while in training camp to get everything flowing the way you want. And he went on to say their mistakes, meaning what that the O-line is making, not guys really getting their tail whipped. So sort of like they're just not fresh. Do you buy any of this stuff? Doesn't it seem a little nonsensical to you in some ways when the defensive line is also rusty and I haven't seen an offensive line or heard about an offensive line that's been just physically going crazy here?
I'm going to speak briefly because I know Lee wants to weigh in and I can't wait for him to weigh in. There might be a few expletives thrown out. This O-line hasn't done enough to deserve the benefit of the doubt from the four of us in this room or the thousands and tens of thousands of Buck fans that are out there that listen to this podcast on a regular basis. Lee, if they were a good offensive line in the past and they were struggling a little bit the first week of training camp, we wouldn't think much about it.
Yeah.
But we're looking at the O-line to make some serious strides this year. And Lee, I'll say it and turn it over to you. I'm tired of making excuses for those guys.
Well, as you know, Ira, I'm one of the people, I defend the offensive line. I think they're used as scapegoats for people that aren't creative to come up with another scapegoat. I just think it's a knee-jerk reaction. I believe what Phil Simms has said. Phil Simms said when he's on the road covering games, he listens to local sports radio the next morning, and he said it never fails. Two things people whine about, play calling and offensive line. It never fails. I just think that's just a boilerplate scapegoat.
But there's the word butt coming up. Word butt's coming up.
Steve started to touch upon it when he said, well, wait a minute. The defense doesn't get the hit either. And now, if Leftwich was talking about a bunch of rookies, I would be right behind him because there's an offensive line crisis in the NFL and Arians has talked about this several times, that guys coming from college, zone blocking, but spread options, they really don't know how to block, literally don't know how to block, and it takes them years sometimes. If that's what if that's what Leftwich was talking about, I'd say, yeah, you're on to something. Dotson's a veteran. Ryan Jetson's a veteran. Donovan Smith's a veteran. Ellie Marpet's a veteran. So that's BS. That is complete and total BS that they don't get hit enough. And what really drove me nuts about this was this rule has been in effect for 9 years. Leftwich is a blankety-blank quarterback in the NFL when his rule came. He didn't know about this rule till this year. That's what he sounds like. I'm starting to understand why Josh Rosen, almost said Sam Rosen, why Josh Rosen's a rotten quarterback. I'm starting to understand now. That was insulting to me. That was insulting to football fans in general. And I think it was insulting to the players because what's that telling the players? Oh, you guys don't have to worry about blocking for a couple more weeks yet. No. That was one of the worst things I ever heard offensive coordinators say. There's a term that's used in the Army and the Marines. It's called adapt and overcome. The Bucs, specifically this offensive line, is under the same rules every 31 other teams in the NFL is. Don't come crying about a rule that's been in effect for 9 years. It'll probably be in effect for 10 more when this new CBA is signed. That is just a load of crap.
I'll say this. Tell me, and you know, I usually don't have to tell Izbits twice to disagree with me, Zach. So, Steve, I'll say it right now. I have more confidence that this defense is going to make a significant step up. I don't mean top 10, but I mean maybe the 17. I got more confidence that that's going to happen than I do that this offensive line is going to raise its game and be a top 10, top 15 offensive line. How do you like them apples,
I absolutely Steven? Agree with that. I actually said 20. Defense could be top 20. Could be. You said 17. We're in the ballpark.
It's still a major upgrade.
Oh, my gosh, yes. Oh, my gosh.
I'll say this. The second I walked in the media room, I heard that whole spiel today. I say, hey, Lee. He's like, hey, see that crap that Byron Leftwich said today?
I mean, it was insulting.
And Lee hasn't been on the case of the offensive line. Not like I have. You know, Lee always says, well, they don't have great running backs either, Ira. You know, it takes two to tango. Now Lee's tired of it.
Two things. One, Monday, they were getting swarmed. They were getting manhandled. They were getting worked over. Zach, you were there. They were getting worked over. There's no doubt about it. Well, I put up a video of Noah Spence basically sprinting to Jameis, was barely touched. He didn't have to use any kind of move, any kind of maneuver. It was like me running to a buffet. Or you
and
running
from
the
blind side.
Bananas Foster.
From the blind side, yeah.
It's like you
against,
running from Bananas Foster.
Against Benenock. Against Benenock.
Yeah, against Benenock.
Yeah, to be fair. Yeah. Donovan Smith wasn't playing Monday or practicing Monday. Damar Dotson wasn't practicing Monday. But they were getting manhandled. When you guys talk about the running backs getting hit behind the line, the fans, this was like four right at the handoff. Boom, they're getting hit.
Hey, say what you want about Benenox. He might not be a starter, but he's the swing tackle in theory. He's the first guy up if Dotson or Smith go down. At this point,
the way he's practicing, they need to swing the doors open for him to leave.
You know, maybe Litke
say, doesn't make me feel any
Litke
better.
Plays a role at that point, but we'll see.
But I've been last couple of days, it's been terrible. Now, to flip the coin, and I joked with someone, an executive with the Buccaneers, last couple of days, I joked with him saying, you know, I don't know if I'm seeing a mirage or not. I'm not used to seeing defensive backs flying the footballs, breaking up passes, and contesting passes. I'm not used to this. It's been 5 or 6 years since we've seen something like this. Am I dreaming?
Yeah. And so I don't want to read too much into this one guy, but I don't know. I just got that sense. You know, you get a feeling about some of the comments that people make. And I know that Bowles tried to calm people down a little bit about this particular rookie. But this rookie that I'm thinking about, he's going to play. And his name's Mike Edwards.
I was going to
guess. He's going to play. I don't know if he's going to play slot. I don't know if he's going to play safety. But when the game's on the line, Steven, that kid's going to be on the field.
Goodbye, Justin Evans.
They like everything about him.
Goodbye.
And Whitehead have been the two starting safeties thus far through camp, through 5 days.
The kid's versatile. He's going to be on the field.
What I thought was cool, and I haven't seen this in a long time either, and I'm not in a shtick outside of, hey, if you want to celebrate a touchdown, okay, and NFL AM used to have this BS, like, who's got the best dance? Get out of here. But I thought it was kind of cool that when Edwards had a pick six yesterday in practice, as he was crossing the goal line, he's waving his teammates in. They had some choreographed stunt, looked like a roller coaster. But how times have changed. I mean, last year, Ira, you could test this or attest to this more than anyone. The defenders just, it was drudgery for them. Now they're having a blast.
They are having a blast. Now I'm going to direct this direct at our man, Beast Zach. Hold on,
wait, I didn't get to comment on your statement. You made a bold statement here.
All right, go ahead.
You said that.
I said Mike Edwards was going to be on the field.
No, yeah. That was your second bold statement.
All right.
You said that you would bet that this defense is going to make a bigger stride and make more of an impact than this offensive line.
I'll stand
line.
By that.
And
I'll
I'm going to disagree with you. I'm going to disagree with you. Because you know what? The defense, I love the way they're looking, and the speed and the energy and the excitement is great, and we've learned that they're blitzing left and right, which you can't do in a regular game. And ultimately, you've got to beat the guy game planning against you. And when you got a bunch of young guys out there, that is tough sledding.
It is,
and especially when you don't necessarily have anybody special off the edge.
And you know, and the JPP injury comes into play.
I still have my share of faith that the O-line will be good enough to make this team a top five offense, like they were last year, top seven, top eight. I don't think the defense
will it be a balanced offense, Steve?
Well, I don't know. I don't know.
If Rojo runs like he did Tuesday, they just might be.
I was just about to go there. Yeah.
I want to direct this to the man beast over here, Steven, because I know he pays special attention. What have you noticed about young Vernon Hargrave?
I've gotten to talk to him a couple times the last few weeks, but he's all over the place. Got a pick on Tuesday, got
better?
A pick on Monday.
Does he look better?
He looks a lot better. He looks like a legitimate starting corner.
Did you see the pick, that athletic pick he had today where he just – I mean, I don't give a damn 5'6" the way
he's all over O.J. Howard. He's sitting there manning up against O.J. Howard in the slot, and he climbs the ladder for an interception.
Is he playing 10 yards off scrimmage?
Occasionally, I'll see him back off 5, 6, 7 yards, but for the most part, it's press, him and Davis. And I asked him about that the other day. I asked him, you know, what's it like to get back to playing man, press man coverage? He's like, I'm right at home in this defense. I'm at home.
He didn't want to rip Mike Smith, right? He's not going to
rip
him.
No, he didn't rip Mike Smith, but you can tell that he's a...
He looks a lot better, Steve. He looks a lot better. Now, again, we're a week at the training camp.
The three people responsible for the secondary last year, well, where are they? I know the answer, but I'm seeing if you know. I know you're not up to that.
I'm
going to
say they're playing golf.
Well, Mike Smith saved himself the embarrassment of not getting a job by retiring. One of the two secondary coaches.
They had a corner coach and a safety coach.
Yeah, they kind of flip-flop, interchangeable, whatever. One of them is an assistant coach at Maryland. The other one, I'm crap you not, I cleaned up the word there, is the defensive coordinator at IMG in Bradenton.
You kid me not.
No.
You kid me not. What? I'm saying. You're not kidding. IMG in Bradenton.
You said the three guys responsible, I thought it was going to be a Jason Light thing right there. Because he's the one who picked a lot of that clown show that was back there last
year. Steve, Young Zach says Hargraves looks like a new man. That could be step one in resurrecting this defense.
Well, Zach, in one of his stories, Ira, he brought up a very interesting point worthy of checking in with your sageness on this.
Sageness!
Before I do, though, I want to mention that you will be at Buffalo Wild Wings Friday, August 9th, preseason opener. The Sage will be out there. You can watch the game with him at Buffalo Wild Wings. It kicks off Ira's world tour of Buffalo Wild Wings for every Bucks road game.
Joined by Young Zach.
I will be with his royal sageness.
Zach will be there with you on opening night. You're going to have some gift cards to give away, which we're going to put that out on Twitter at the last minute, too, so we don't get too crazy, but you're going to have some cash, basically.
Am I eligible for one of these gift cards?
You'll get a gift card, Zach, Ira, well, I don't know.
Any photos taken at this beautiful event? Zach will be taking.
I'll have Twitter open.
Zach will use the modern technology known as a camera phone. And Ira, but you'll be out there. It'll be fun, and people get to hang out with you and just watch the game. There's nothing quite like watching a game with Ira, especially when he puts the food down and can talk to you. So
cash, Ira.
And, you know, we can't wait to delve into the third quarter when the fifth string center's in the game.
Yeah. Vincent Testaverde will be under center.
Yeah,
probably.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
And the over-under on shots, we have to limit this to two because you're driving, and it's not that crazy of an occasion.
Lee, how'd young Mr. Testaverde look the last couple of
years? All right, stop. Cut that out.
We aren't paying attention.
Right, there you go.
Also, Ira, of course, the podcast is available. iTunes, Podbean, Google Play, Stitcher, right at JoeBucksFan.com. If you didn't listen to Peter King in the last podcast, great chit-chat, sit-down with Ira. A lot of fun, a lot of good meaty stuff in there.
It's still online. You can still get it. Very easy.
Fellow Hall of Fame voter.
So, Ira, back to what Zach brought up, which is a very interesting point. He had his one-on-one chat with Hargraves, who told him, I'm back home, man. I'm back comfortable. Press, man. This is me. This is what I like to do. I'm back playing tight coverage. Yet Mike Smith used to tell everybody that, hey, you know, there's latitude. These defensive backs can pick where they want to line up if they want to play off. They got a big range in where it's up to
nonsense.
Them. And Lee used to call that out as nonsense.
Nonsense.
So,
they're lining up in a different area code than the receiver.
Something doesn't
jive. You're going to do what the freaking coach tells you to do.
Of course you are.
Of course you are. Come on, Mike. You're better.
And if it wasn't working, any kind of decent coach would adjust and say, hey, you don't want to line up there anymore.
You're going to put the onus on the player where he's lining up? Now, come on.
Just wanted to cut in here and say that Saturday, August 3rd, this Saturday, is the training camp takeover, the third annual training camp takeover. Now it's being run by the Loose Cannons, a fun fan group, open to everybody. And this is just a time to come to practice and just get a lot louder and more intense and more game-like, all together in a group, having a lot of fun, jacking up the players. It's the training camp takeover. If you've been there before, you know how cool it is. If you haven't, it's just a lot of fun to take practice to a new level. Saturday's practice is 6:30 p.m. It's inside the Glazer Shed, also known as the indoor facility at One Buck Place. So if you get there before 5:50, let's say 5:50, great chance you're going to get a t-shirt, a training camp takeover free t-shirt presented by JoeBucksFan.com and the Loose Cannons. It's pretty cool. You've seen it online. Good chance. And you want to look for the Loose Cannon folks. Sammer is the chieftain over there, and he's going to be passing out the shirts. But yeah, I don't think you'll be able to miss him at all whatsoever. And get there, though, before 10 to 6, about 10 to 6 or so, because everyone's going to want to head inside after that to get cooking and all fired up before practice. So it's really just that simple. Enjoy yourself. If you don't have tickets for practice and they're free, show up anyway, because the Bucks let you in unless something really weird happens. They always leave a lot of wiggle room for extra fans, and plenty of fans who have the free tickets don't show up. So get out there Saturday. Have fun. Back to Ira. Lee brought up an interesting point, Ira, and I just figured I had to throw this out there. The whole celebration in the end zone the other day with the Mike Edwards pick six, and we're going to get back to Mike Edwards. I thought it was funny that Bowles said he was very down. He said, quote, I don't know if you celebrate 2 days into training camp but do a roller coaster ride. I thought that was kind of funny.
Let the guys have some fun, Steve. Let the guys have
I agree,
fun.
And he said as long as they know what they're doing out there, I don't care, but you could tell that he was no fan of that, you know, training camp.
Zach, even the Patriots, you know, do a little choreography and stuff. If you can get away with that with Belichick,
I remember last
year. As long as you're making plays, Zach.
I remember last year they did a canoe ride. I don't remember what game it was. But the dull defense just lined up and did a canoe ride. It reminded me of that.
I remember that. Wasn't it 2 years ago? But I remember what you're talking about.
Yeah. I think secretly they were trying to go down the Hillsborough River and get the hell out of town. That's really what it amounted to. All right, Ira, look, a lot's been going on at camp, and I didn't ask you in the last podcast of just really your general feeling of this camp. You've been to 73 camps in your years covering football. I mean, what kind of vibe are you getting so far? No music? Is this intense, not intense, soft?
Well,
Arians is staying indoors when he doesn't always have to. What's going on?
As far as the atmosphere, and I don't mean this, you know, aimed towards Buck fans, but It's a chill atmosphere. There's not a lot of enthusiasm coming from the stands, Lee. Not a lot. Maybe the music's part of that. As far as on the field, Zach, from what I see, the stars of early camp, I think, are the young defensive backs. I think that those are the stars.
I would agree.
Mike Evans is doing what Mike Evans does, Lee. No surprise there. The guy's going to be a perennial Pro Bowler. He might be on a Hall of Fame trajectory. He might very well be on it. 5 years in. Maybe does another 5 years. I think he's going to Canton.
Mm.
You know, if he puts together 10 1,000-yard seasons or whatever. But, Lee, I think the young DBs, and it's not always the same guy, might be Dean, might be Edwards, might be Bunting, might be Hargraves, who's still young.
24 and he's a veteran.
I'll tell you who it ain't. It ain't Justin Evans.
No.
And speaking of Justin Evans, Lee, he better get his ass back on that football field because they ain't waiting for him.
Well, even like Whitehead's looking pretty good.
And Whitehead.
Well, like Steve said, who? Yeah. But when Arians was asked about Justin Evans, I think it was the first practice, didn't he basically say, he better get on the field?
Lee, you like the way the young DBs are getting their hands on balls? Or you're chalking them up to that up to Aaron passes by Winston?
Well, you could argue that some of the blitzes aren't, like Devin White was in James's face and he threw an interception from that. What I can't figure out is, I don't know if I'm seeing a mirage. I'm not used to seeing defensive backs do anything here.
Yeah.
I'm just
You're
not.
Right. You're right.
It's been 5 years since they've done anything.
You're absolutely right.
And so what I'm seeing, I'm like, wait, they're wearing Bucks uniforms?
What they have, one pick in the first nine games last year or something
like
that? Something crazy?
One or two picks, yeah.
You know, Zach, what about the closing speed? The closing speed of Devin White. Impressive?
Very impressive.
He makes up ground in a hurry, Steve. I mean in a hurry.
I mean, I remember back in OTAs, I'm sitting there watching this guy fly around. The second he hits the field, it's unbelievable.
You know what?
He's going to be good. I'm going to Canton, unlike some websites. But he's going to be good.
Yeah, I'm going to say this, and maybe I'm going to induce vomiting, if not harassment of me. No rancor, no ulterior motive here. I really haven't seen anything from Devin White or Lavonte David. Neither one of them. Now, there was play Monday, where he blitzed and forced Jameis to do a pick. That's the first time I've seen him do anything in practice. Now, I know a lot of fans will get mad and say, why aren't you looking at this? Why aren't you looking? I got to look at big picture. I can't focus on one guy, one guy out of nine. Otherwise, I'd miss everything. So I look, when I watch a play, it's like I'm watching on TV or watching a game. That's why I'm watching. And the guy flashes, makes a play, whether it's a pick, whether it's a catch, a run, a big-time block, what have you. Then, okay, the guy flashed. I am now this person I was texting with the other night, a suit with the Bucks. He was just going, he was effusive about Lavonnie David and Devin White's their play in practice. I haven't seen him do anything. But to be fair, I'm not zeroed in on Devin White or Lavonnie David monitoring how they blitz. You know,
now,
I'm looking
for
results.
I got a question for Mr. Isbitz here. Steve, you've heard Arians talk after 5 days of practice each day. And I asked him a question about Ndamukong Suh today, his motor. and just, you know, and going back to that first, that very first one with Winston, when Winston struggled and he said he was fantastic. What was the word, Zach? So, Steve, my question to you is, do you think, are we going to get the goods from Arians in terms of talking about individual players? Or is he going to be very, very reticent to critically analyze when a player struggles? What
great question, Ira. Great question.
What do you think?
Well, first, let me say this. We're definitely not going to get it from Todd Bowles because he's as milquetoast as they get. And so there's that. Leftwich is a bit of a loose cannon. I think he's going to try to keep rein it in a little bit, but he talks
too
much.
We need a Todd Monken. That's what
we need.
We
don't have
a
Todd Monken. I don't know. I'm just personally waiting for Arians to explode. I feel like at some point he's going to flick a switch intentionally and just go wild on this team.
That's a great point, Steve.
To jack up the fire and to let them know that everything they're doing is unacceptable.
Right now he's the great father figure. Yeah, All's calm.
He's playing the happy grandpa role. Everything's good. He's, you know, walking around. It's all good. And I don't know. I'm just waiting for him to explode, especially on the O-line where he's talking about it being a mentality. And we know that Harold Goodwin is – they got all these coaches. Someone's got to light up these guys and get the offense playing like the defense. I think the one thing that has disturbed me, we're only five games in, Ira, five practices in, of all the stuff I've read, all the video and everything else I've seen, I don't feel like the offense has responded to the intensity of the defense. Forget about the execution. I feel like the intensity isn't there on the offense. I don't really understand it, but I think eventually Arians will open up, but he might be very very hesitant to open up because if he's not going to go after Jameis, but he starts going after other guys, that could divide a team a little bit.
You know, Zach, Arians is famous for the, you know, rough him up and then you hug him later. Well, all that's done in private, Zach.
Yeah.
That's done in private, maybe in the film room or whatever. But, Zach, from a public perspective, and you've seen Arians at the podium many times now, mm-hmm. do you feel he'll crack and call out a guy and maybe for effect that Steve's suggesting, maybe you do it for effect at some point.
I mean, he said some guys crapped their pants after that first padded practice. I don't know if that's necessarily calling an individual player out, but I don't know.
I go back to that first Winston practice, Lee. You know, that set a rough tone over there.
Well, didn't Leo Haggerty almost get him bent out of shape?
You love this Leo Haggerty question.
Well, I thought it was hilarious when
he told me the other day, I'm going to ask about the running backs. I'm going to ask about the running backs.
Haggerty didn't know this. I was talking to him Monday, and Haggerty wasn't aware of this, but I can't remember who it was. Maybe it was Steve. Aaron's first press conference as training camp was opening. I want to see it with Steve. I can't remember who it was. I asked him. In a very, not a condescending way, but very clearly, like, you know, your running back stink. Are you going to upgrade? And he, you know, he sighed and he's like, oh, I like my running back.
Sounds so like a Steve question.
So then Haggerty comes.
No, I don't think I asked him.
So then Haggerty comes at him and asked him about quote unquote your substandard running backs. And he snapped. You know, he's like, well, I don't have any substandard running backs.
You know, the constant talking about Peyton Barber, Zach, the constant Ronald Jones. Well, what is Ronald Jones, the Darren Sproles in his prime over here?
he wouldn't confirm on that Peyton Barber was necessarily the number one back either at his press conference today, Tuesday.
He's almost suggesting there's a battle for the number one running
back.
Yeah,
he said
job.
It'll be a hell of a 1-2 punch, but I can't say it's a competition.
I mean, let's be honest. Ronald Jones was not drafted to be the primary back. He wasn't.
A second-round pick?
He wasn't. He just wasn't. He was.
You're going to spend a second round pick on a backup running back?
Serve a function.
I mean, a function
that they need.
Come on, Ira.
Ira, a second round pick, you expect him to be a backup? Now he's playing and practicing like a backup. I'll give you that.
Steve, you want Ronald Jones carrying the ball 180 times this year?
No, but that's not what you said, Ira. You said he wasn't traded. He's drafted number 38 overall. If they didn't draft him to be the number one running back, then they're out of their minds.
They said they needed an explosive back, a guy who can.
Yeah, an explosive back is what you call a number one running back.
I've never seen a team spend a number one or a second round draft pick on a backup, except for a kicker.
I'll be a little shocked if Peyton Barber's not the primary back. I'll be shocked.
Oh, I guarantee you, last year when they drafted Jones, they did not expect Barber to be in 2019. Expected him to be the bell cow. I guarantee you that.
Yeah.
Well, now, that's the way it's turned out. But
first time I've heard you say bell cow, DeKemper. Nice going.
No, we'll see. Rojo's practicing well. We'll see.
I think Barber definitely will be the guy. They're just going to feed him the ball and see what happens. I mean, that's what you got to do. I don't even think Barber's going to play much in the preseason. I think he'll be.
Arian sees him as a battering ram.
I think the preseason.
I think so. You know, we're down the defense.
I know. That's what you're saying.
You know.
All right, let me throw
soften up the middle.
Let me throw this to you, and I know, you know, Ronald Jones has had.
And we haven't even talked about should they have an interest in Theo Riddick. We haven't talked about it.
Theo Riddick is basically a.
He's a third down pass catching back, and he's
good
at it.
No, Theo Riddick is a quarter notch above, at best, above Jaquizz Rodgers. That's what he is. That's the bottom
line.
Who's
still unemployed?
That's the bottom line.
That's the most accurate thing I've probably ever heard.
When he ends up on the New Orleans Saints, which I think he probably will in the next few days, we'll see if you change your tune.
They brought in Alfred Morris. You know that? Well, they brought him in for a tryout.
Cowboys did.
The Saints brought him in for a tryout, and then he went back to the Cowboys.
Oh, okay. Well, they're trying to replace Ingram, right? They got a spot.
They got Latavius Murray to replace Ingram.
Yeah. All right, Ira. Now, listen. I wanted to bring up a couple of things.
By the way, do we have a date for our fantasy draft, Steve? Because
we do.
I must atone for last year's performance.
We do, Todd's,
which was dreadful by me.
Todd's got it all set up, and one announcement at a time. Ira, Saturday, I'll reiterate that is the training camp takeover, and everyone's seen it online at joebucksfan.com. They're going to be a lot of fun. The loose cannons will be out there. And T-shirts.
By the way, kudos to Todd Wright. He's got a little gig with Bay News 9. He's doing some fantasy stuff for them.
Oh, is that right?
Good for him.
Yeah, right at Hooters. Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is back, rolling, and he does such a great job with that twice a week. A lot of good info in there. You should start studying, Ira.
I already got two magazines.
I'm going to give him a shout-out. There's obviously the Toddcast he has on JoeBucksFan.com. He grew up with the Big Red Machine, Cincinnati. And Todd said he hasn't watched baseball in 5 years, hasn't missed it. I'm starting to get that way. You know me, Ari. You see this cap.
And the Cardinals are not having a bad year.
No,
you know?
And I haven't watched them in like 2 months. Wow. It's boring baseball. The stat geeks have won. And I find that to be god-awful boring. I like bunts. Give me some bunts. Stolen bases, you say.
Now it's home runs or strikeouts?
That's all it is. It's garbage.
Well,
Steve,
we were talking about that the other day about bunting. You sit there and you throw a shift in between the first and second base gap and you leave third base wide open. No one ever bunts down the third base line.
And
if you're
times,
an MLB player and you can't lay down a bunt, what are you doing?
Get on base. Get on base.
Yes, and the rare times they do, they get a double out of it. Because
giving
no
you
one,
a base hit.
But the stat geeks have won. Todd said on his podcast, which I completely disagree, he goes, baseball hasn't changed. That's the problem. Au contraire, it's changed all right, and that is the problem.
Yeah.
Like you just said,
people are turning off baseball.
It's a four-hour home run derby. That's what it is. A home run derby, as Chris Russo would say, it's a parade of relief pitchers. And come on. I'm a baseball
geek. You know, and speaking of your Cardinals, tell me if I'm wrong, Lee, but when they were really good, maybe in the 80s, they ran wild. Stole 200 bases.
That was exciting baseball. You get a guy in first base, look out.
The game has really changed in that regard.
Yeah. Oh, that was a unique team, Ira.
They weren't the only team that ran, but they ran damn well. Ozzie and Vince Coleman, guys.
But not to deviate too much, I know this is a football podcast, Bucks podcast, but what you said, Ira, to me one time about a month ago, I said, what happened to the Cardinals? The Cardinals for decades, they always stole bases. And I said, yeah, and not anymore. They've succumbed like the rest of baseball. They succumbed.
I like it. I still like watching baseball. I can't watch anything other than the Rays because to me it's too boring if I don't have any kind of investment. But, hey, the Rays just played back-to-back 10-9 games. Torture, but the beautiful torture of baseball. All right, now, Ira, look. Ronald Jones, now I'm going to drop an Ira Kaufman reference here.
Oh.
I'm going to say, tell me if I'm wrong, or tell me I'm wrong.
That's a Kaufman reference.
Tell me where I'm wrong. Peyton Barber's not going to get a lot of work in the preseason. Ronald Jones is going to be fed the rock over and over again to see if he has it. If he does what he did last year in the preseason, which is 2 yards a carry, you know, first two preseason games, he's got 21 carries for 45 yards. Are they going to go get another running back, or is Bruce Arians just going to say, oh, he'll be okay? Are they going to make a bold move?
They're not going to cut him. Not in training camp. They're not going to cut him. He owes that to Jason Light. He owes that to Light. That would make Light look awful. And Light don't need that because he's got enough of a problem justifying, you know, his five-year run right now. He doesn't need another second-round bust. So I think I'd go with the second part of that, chalk it up to some lousy line play. Let's see what happens. And then I think he would get another shot when the Niners come to town the first 2 or 3 weeks. And Lee, at that point, I don't think the leash is going to be that long, but I think he's going to get a few weeks to see if he's really made. I mean, Arians has talked too much about Ronald Jones to say we're done with Ronald Jones. I don't think they can do that, Lee.
I agree with you. I think one reason why he's going to get the rock a lot, they're trying to build the guy's confidence. They really are. For whatever reason, whether it was Cutter didn't want him or Cutter gave up on him or what have you, his confidence apparently was blown to shreds last year. And I've even talked to Ronald Jones about this today, well, Tuesday. And I said, are you feeling better? Are you more confident now? I mean, you're starting to break some runs. He's starting to run with power. He's starting to run with power, believe it or not.
And maybe this weight gain's helping him.
Well, I asked him about that. I asked, and this I thought was very interesting. I asked him about the weight gain. I said, I see you running with power. You're running up the middle. You're breaking tackles. I said, is that because of your conditioning? He goes, yeah, you know, I put on some weight. I said, what did the Bucs say about your weight? Because generally, running backs put on weight. Teams don't like that. So what did the Bucs say about that? He goes, well, I had to clear it with them. I talked to them. He said, I guess Arians, because he said Bucs in general. And he said the Bucs, their only concern with him put on weight, they didn't want him to lose any speed. They said, if you could put on weight and keep your speed, knock yourself out.
Steve, I'm going to be looking at ball security for Ronald Jones. Can you catch a freaking ball? Do you look good when you're catching a ball? Is your timing good where you can catch it and then turn around, you know, and then look to see what the defense is doing?
Yak.
He's got a lot to prove to me.
There
Ronald
was
Jones.
A play on Tuesday's practice. He caught a ball, broke like three tackles, taken off down the sideline, but then MJ Stewart comes up behind him, forces the fumble. So
that's poor focus.
Yeah.
That's poor focus. Lee, I want you to describe, because most of our listeners were not here, what happened with Jameis Winston running down the field on that play? What happened?
I was chasing him.
You were chasing him.
Jameis tried to, there was two plays. He was trying to throw a block 40 yards downfield.
That was on the Ronald Jones play. Coughs up the ball, recovered by Jordan Whitehead. Jameis comes sprinting 20 yards downfield, throws his body at him.
Yeah, tried to make a tackle.
Arians didn't breathe for a minute and a half.
Well, Arians was asked about it, and he kind of chuckled. And he's like, that's enough of that.
That's enough of that. Is that the play you were talking about,
Yeah.
Lee?
Yeah. I mean, he loved the fact that James, you know, the
Steve,
heart.
That's where the Winston instincts take over. That's where they take over. You can talk all you want in these freaking meeting rooms, and that's been a big problem with some of his picks. His instinct is, I'm going to make that play. I'm going to get that pass in. They're trying to temper those instincts. Steve, it's not that easy. It is not that easy because he's been doing it from year one.
Zach,
you don't flick a switch.
Talk about the play you found, you know, when he was a rookie. You always bring it up.
Oh, the Atlanta game, his rookie year in 2015, the road game where they won in overtime. What were they up, like 17-0 at halftime?
Yeah.
Something like that, and it ends up in overtime. He gives the ball to Doug Martin. He goes and throws a block against the linebacker to try to clear the lane for him in overtime.
Now, he's not the only guy that – Mahomes would do something like that.
I'm having a seizure.
Yeah, but Jameis isn't
there.
The MVP.
What's going on, Steve?
I'm having
You're
a
supposed
seizure.
To agree
I'm
with
I'm
the
I'm having
host
a seizure,
a
and we're going to have to end the podcast because I need some mental help.
What's going on, baby?
I cannot believe that you're sitting here telling the Bucs fans who've been aching for how many years? 11 years now for the playoffs that Bruce Arians, if Ronald Jones doesn't look good in the preseason – he's going to hesitate to not play the guy. He'll play the guy because it'll look bad for Light. When does this nonsense end? When does this end? If he stinks, I don't need to watch that another.
I said he's not going to have a long leash in the regular season. Steve, you got him cutting the guy on August 29th.
I want to win football games. If he can't run, if he pounding the rock and looks like a deer in the headlights again in the preseason, isn't that what preseason is
for? How do you like this? On the same day that you want to cut Ronald Jones, you might as well fire Jason Light. How do you like them apples?
Whatever it takes, but we still need a running back. I can't go into the season and hoping this guy turns it around when he can't turn it around in preseason.
I'm not disagreeing that they don't need to run another running back.
All right.
Because I don't know what Ellington's bringing to the table.
I mean, you're the one
that had one awesome catch the other day.
He really did.
A very, very, very.
I think he can catch the ball, Ellington.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
It was a very poor throw by Jameis. Way behind.
Yeah, play action. He rolls out. It's like a 4-yard little dump pass to the end zone, and Ellington's running, and he. Well underthrown. He completely adjusts his body and turns and grabs it. It's
he
really,
scooped it up with one hand.
Steve, I'm agreeing with you on this point. Once the regular season rolls around, Ronald Jones is going to be on a short leash. Jobs are on the line. Aaron's you've got to win. And you're not messing around and giving him the ball in the seventh week when he hasn't done anything. I agree with you on that.
I'll say this much. I remember reading and listening last year, and Lee always mentioned he never flashed in practice at all. He didn't look like he belonged
so
in practice.
He has.
And now he's making plays in practice, though, at the very least.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's a positive step forward.
I'm rooting for the guy, but if he sucks, can we just end it and get Garrett Blunt in here to pound the rock a little bit and get some attitude but behind this line? That's all I'm saying, Ira. We don't need to play games.
Would Light actually do that? Well, would he cut him?
Light may not be Light's decision.
Oh, you're saying it's upstairs, are you, Ira?
Well, no, I'm saying Arians has the clout, which is your favorite word, clout. Steve, am I wrong? It's Arians' team.
Hey, hopefully Jones gets the ball, averages 4 yards a carry.
I'm
in preseason.
Rooting against Ronald Jones.
Hopefully he averages 4 yards a carry and we're all happy. I got to ask you this, Ira, before we head out of here, and because it's too much fun. Hard Knocks is coming up. John Gruden. Some clips are out there. Gruden, he's got a little crush now on Nathan Peterman, the bust from the Bills, who's battling with Mike Glennon.
Everyone calls him the GOAT.
For the backup quarterback.
Is Doug Martin still on that freaking roster?
How much fun is it going to be? I cannot wait to see what we might see from Gruden with Glennon and Doug Martin.
This has all the makings of a disaster.
Good theater.
Did anyone see his opening statements, Gruden's opening statements?
I saw the one about the we're not bowl games or Peach Bowl or something.
He's like, yeah, I'm not – everyone has dreams of making the NFL win the Super Bowl. I'm not into dreams. I'm into nightmares. You got to crush someone's dreams. You got to be their nightmare. I'm like
– yeah.
We're not dreaming on a Blue Bonnet Bowl.
Derek Carr's probably not long to be a Raider. You know, I'd give him maybe another year. And that doesn't mean he's not going to go to another team and play well.
I don't know why you're so down on the Raiders' offense. See, Carr threw for over 4,000 yards last year. They added Antonio freaking Brown.
I know, but who's going to run the ball?
Nathan Peterman's there to take the job.
They drafted the top running back in the draft. They got a lot of talent there, buddy.
That's a tough division. Talk about tough divisions. I mean, the Chargers are good. We know the Chiefs are good. Denver's average, you know. But
so now we're back to Peter King, and the Raiders are going 7-9, finishing in last place.
I'm not rooting against Chucky, but he's great theater, win or lose, right, Lee? Great theater.
They got some serious characters on that show, too. Richie Incognito, Vontaze Burfict, Antonio Brown.
They didn't dump Incognito after his latest escapade?
He's still there.
Oh, my goodness. Is Doug Martin still there?
He's still there. He's in training camp with Incognito. It's going to be a great show. All right, Ira, get a shower. Get yourself all tuned up for...
What are you insinuating? Get a shot.
We got the women in red this week. I believe I'm going to make an appearance. May try to get Darcy Glazer on our podcast.
Now I know why you said we're going to take a shower.